can turn the world on with her smile. Who can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile? Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show it, love is all around, no need to waste it. You can have the town, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all. You're gonna make it after all.
You know the song. You know the voice. And in the next hour, you will get to know the man behind the song, the man with that voice. Talking about singer-songwriter Sonny Curtis. Sonny, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ronnie. It's great to be here with you.
You know, when I say singer-songwriter, I probably should say songwriter-singer, because in your case, I think you consider yourself more a songwriter than a singer, even though you have done both.
Well, songwriters are what really made most of my living, actually.
In fact, since you brought that up, if I may quote something that I read on a page on a website, it's the Sonny Curtis page.
It's the page they have on me at National Songwriters Association International,
right.
NSAI.
I want to read something that is on this page, because at some point you were quoted as saying this. You said, "Interesting, perhaps, is the way I started writing songs. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a big country star. A local promoter put me on a show with Hank Snow. I went on right before Hank, and to impress him, I sang a lot of his hits. I was so dumb, I didn't realize that was not the thing to do. Anyway, Hank's road manager told me those were Hank's songs, and if I wanted to make it, I would have to find my own songs. Then, if I didn't know any songwriters, I would have to write them myself. I said, okay, and started writing songs. I never became a big country star, but I did learn to write songs, which, as far as I'm concerned, is the better of the two." Of all the songs you've written, the one you are probably best known for by millions of people around the country and around the world as well, is the one that we just opened the show with, a little bit of that anyway, the theme song from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. We're going to discuss that a little bit later in the show. Your first record that was a chart record was a song called Someday, recorded by Webb Pierce in 1957.
That sounds about right.
Now, could you tell me how that came about? I assume that that may not have been the first song you wrote, but it was the first successful one.
Actually, that same guy with Hank Snow, his name was Eddie Crandall. I believe I sent that song to him after I wrote it. And he played it around to different people, and just about everyone that heard it thought they might try to record it. There was a songwriter, but he's a great singer. His name was Autry Inman. And it finally got around to Webb Pierce. He said, "What is this song?" And so when he heard it, he said, "I believe I'll record it." And Webb Pierce at that time had about 20 number one country records in a row, and he was very successful. So when he decided to record something, everybody else would back off.
This is the one that started it all for Sonny Curtis and his very successful songwriting career. This is Webb Pierce and Someday.
Someday, when I'm free from the chains of love, I may fall in love again. Someday, when the torch for you grows dim, I may find happiness then. You'll never know the pain you cause. I know you. By surprise, you'll know how my heart has been torn. Someday, if you realize you've made a mistake and want me back again,
someday,
my heart will be yours to keep or break. I'll take the chance again. I know you meant no harm. If heartbreak should take you by surprise, you'll know how my heart has been torn. Someday if you realize you made a mistake and want me back again, my heart will be yours to keep or pray. I'll take the chance again.
Well, Someday was in 1957, and it must have made you feel good to have a record on the charts.
Oh, it sure did. What really made me feel good is to see my name on the record and hear it on the radio for the first time. It was magnificent.
You were very much involved with Buddy Holly and the Crickets, and when did that involvement begin?
I met Buddy in about 1953, I think, or 54. We were both in high school. I think I was about a sophomore. He might have been a grade ahead of me. He was about 9 months older than I.
What was your initial impression of Buddy?
I met him through a mutual friend, a guy who actually named Bob Montgomery, who came to Nashville and was a very successful music publisher down here and record producer. Bob introduced me to Buddy, and we just skipped the small talk. It's really funny because we just got our guitars out immediately right after we said hello, and we started picking and singing. And it was a wonderful experience meeting Buddy and getting to actually have friends that enjoyed what I enjoyed, because we all loved music.
Being kind of an impromptu talent scout, what was your impression of Buddy's talent? Did you see him as something special who had incredible potential to go far?
Well, I don't think I thought of it in those terms. I mean, as far as talent, I thought he was very good. He played guitar and he played banjo. He and Bob Montgomery had a band, which I joined immediately.
Right.
And I played country fiddle back in those days, and I also played guitar. And we started booking out and playing shows and played on the radio. There was a show called Sunday Party, which was on KDAV in Lubbock, and we went out every Sunday afternoon for free, of course, and played on the Sunday Party. I would play as a soloist, and then I'd play with Buddy as well. And he would play background for me as well.
You wrote a song for Buddy called Rock Around with Ollie V. Could you tell me a little bit about that song, and were you on the session?
I was on the session. I played lead guitar. That was recorded in Nashville. My father, who was a cotton farmer, had a man that worked for him, a wonderful old black guy named Willie Robinson. And Willie's wife was named Ollie V, and I used Ollie V's name. That's as far as it went, but I thought that was a very musical-sounding name. I wrote that song, and Buddy recorded it. We had a group called the Three Tunes, and when we came to Nashville to record for Decca, we recorded that song. That was Buddy Holly, myself, and Don Guess was our bass player, and he was from Lubbock as well. What's really funny is one of the best guitar players in the world was Grady Martin, who wound up playing with Willie Nelson. Grady played rhythm guitar on that, and Buddy Harmon, who was a great drummer, played all of lots of the Everly Brothers songs. You know, he
right.
played
yeah.
drums on it, because Jerry Allison was still in school, so he couldn't come down to Nashville. So
right.
we used the Nashville session players.
Right. This one you wrote by yourself, right? You didn't have a co-writer.
That's right, yes.
And you wrote it for Buddy.
Well, not necessarily. I wrote it for myself, you know.
Okay.
Buddy recorded it.
Rock Around with Ollie V, written by Sonny Curtis and sung by the great Buddy Holly.
Well, we gonna rock to the rhythm and the blues tonight. Rock to everything, gonna be alright tonight.
We gonna rock to the rhythm and the blues.
Well, I got a little gal I call her Ivy, come from Memphis, Tennessee, and tonight
we gonna rock around with Ivy,
Ivy.
Holly,
you say you're gonna do me right tonight.
Come on, let my blues way to you tonight.
We're gonna rock around with Holly, Holly. We're gonna rock to the rhythm and the blues tonight. That's everything gonna be high tonight.
We're gonna rock to the rhythm and the blues.
Go!
Hey!
tonight
we're gonna rock to the rhythm and the blues.
I'm gonna shout, laugh, holler, and giggle tonight. I'm gonna shake it just a little in the middle of the night. Cause tonight we're gonna rock around with our feet, holler, holler, beat. Well, I think Mr. Cop will be tonight. He tried to put a stop to me tonight. Cause tonight we're gonna rock around with our feet, holler, holler, holler. Well, we're gonna rock to the rhythm and the blues tonight. And I said everything's gonna be high. Cause tonight
we're gonna rock to the rhythm and the blues.
Rock Around with Ollie V. Great sound by Buddy Holly and song written by Sonny Curtis, who has written quite a few songs, and we're going to play many of them on this particular show. I'm Ronnie Allen, very pleased to be talking with Sonny Curtis. And once again, Sonny, I do thank you for taking the time to do this.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Glad to be here.
And it's my pleasure to celebrate your career in 1 hour. We're going to go like lightning speed. You wrote a hit song for the Everly Brothers, which was called Walk Right Back.
Yes.
And that was that 1961 when that was a hit?
Well, it came out January of 1961. I wrote it in basic training in the Army.
Oh.
It's funny, I only wrote one verse, and I went to L.A. I was stationed in Fort Ord, California. The Everlys were down in L.A., as was Jerry Allison, the drummer of the Crickets, and I got a 3-day pass and went down to see J.I., and we went over to see the Everly Brothers, and I sang that song to them, and they said, if you'll write another verse, we'll record that. And, of course, I was kind of busy in the Army. During my leave between Fort Ord and Fort Gordon, Georgia, I wrote the second verse, and I sent it to the Everlys. And the next day I got a letter from J.I. and he said, man, the Everly Brothers cut your song. So they just sang the first verse twice, you know. But that was released on the day I landed in France for my tour of duty. I spent 17 months in France. That was released on that day in January of 1961.
That's indelibly in your mind, I guess.
Yes.
Okay, now I'm just a little bit confused. You wrote a second verse, but they only ended up doing the first verse after all?
They only had one verse, and
yeah.
They had a recording session, and they didn't get the second verse from me in time, so they just went ahead and recorded it with the same verse.
Interesting. Were you a big fan of the Everly Brothers, by the way?
Oh, a huge fan. And I had also played with them for 6 or 8 months before I went into the Army. I was playing guitar for them.
They had their guitars plus you?
Well, yes, they played acoustic rhythm guitars, and I played lead.
Okay.
Jerry Allison was playing drums, and Joe B. Malden was playing bass. We were the Crickets, you know, we were the Crickets, but after Buddy died, we started... didn't much have a sense of direction right away. We just decided to start playing with the Everly Brothers. They asked us to.
We're going to listen to it right now. This is a song that Sonny Curtis wrote while in basic training in the Army.
Yes.
Here it is, Walk Right Back, the Everly Brothers.
Nothing seems
Walk Right Back by the Everly Brothers, who were not by any means the only recording artists to record that song. In fact, Anne Murray had a huge hit with that in the year 1978 on the country chart.
Yes, she did.
Now, did Anne Murray sing both verses or just one?
No, she sang it just like the
Everly Brothers did.
Everly Brothers, I mean, like she only sang the same verse and did it twice. Interesting, I had a lot of other records on that. Andy Williams and Perry Como, Gary Lewis even recorded that song. Bobby V, I think, recorded it, but they all sang the second verse. But the other one that was successful was Anne Murray's, and it didn't have the second verse.
Well, the most successful versions of that song are the ones that didn't have the second verse.
That's right.
I'm wondering, could you just tell me just a little bit about what the lyrics of the second verse were, just that I've never heard?
Yes, if I can remember. Let me see. These eyes of mine that gave you loving glances once before changed to shades of crowded gray. I want so very much to see you just like before. I've got to know you're coming back to stay. Please believe me when I say it's great to hear from you. There's a lot of things a letter just can't say. Oh, me. And then walk right back to me this minute. That's the way it goes.
Okay, let's
go
down the
end of it is like the the chorus, and that's the same as the first.
Let's see what they say. What'd you say, Randy? What'd you say, Paula? What'd you say, Simon? Hey, they're all approving. Thank you for that, because I had never heard that verse.
That's on my new CD.
Out,
and if you listen to that, I sang the second verse.
Oh, okay. You mentioned Andy Williams. Let's talk about a song called A Fool Never Learns.
I think I wrote that in maybe 64 or 65.
Was that written for Andy Williams?
Well, again, no, I wrote songs for myself.
Oh, okay.
So, we had a manager at the time, and he was good friends with Andy Williams' manager. And he played the song for Andy Williams' manager, and he said, hey, I think Andy might like that. And he did, luckily, and he recorded it.
A fool never learns to get away, just run away before his heart begins to break. A fool never learns, he'll wait around, just hang around, to see how much his heart can take. A fool never learns, some girls' love is just a game, and some girls treat all fools the same. A fool never learns, that I'm gonna do a very foolish thing. I'm gonna stick by you, I'm gonna hang around, wait around, hope she'll love me again someday. They say a broken heart don't mark the end of time, but there are lots of girls who'd love to be just mine. But I don't believe that I could fall in love again, 'cause I just can't remove the pain. A fool never learns that I'm gonna do a very foolish thing. I'm gonna stick by you, I'm gonna hang around, wait around, hope she'll love me again someday. Say a broken heart don't mark the end of time, that there are lots of girls who'd love to be just mine. But I don't believe that I could fall in love again, 'cause I just can't remove the pain. A fool never learns that I'm gonna do a very foolish thing. I'm gonna do
I am Ronnie Allen, pleased to be talking with Sonny Curtis, the man who wrote and sang the theme song from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. But Sonny Curtis did a lot more besides writing that. This particular song, I Fought the Law, is a song that has been done by many different recording artists. You wrote the song actually when you were involved with the Crickets.
Yeah, I had gotten back involved with the Crickets Well, we were always involved, you know, because we were good friends.
Right.
But I don't think I had joined back up with the group. That was probably 2 or 3 months down the road. But I wrote this on a spring day in 1958. The sand was blowing outside, as it's wont to do in Lubbock, Texas. And I wrote this song in about 20 minutes. Of course, you can judge by the lyrics that you don't have to be a rocket scientist to, to write a song like this. But I sure wish I could get my head back there where it was then. Because this song, financially speaking, is my most successful song.
That's in part because of the number of different recording artists that did
it. Well, yes, that's one reason. And, of course, people have used it like a couple of years ago. They used it at the Super Bowl. And, man, that's really nice when they do a song of yours on the Super Bowl. And then Ford Motor Company has used it. And, you know, that sort of thing helps as well.
Did the Crickets ever record the song?
Oh, we were the first to record it, 1959.
Some of the artists that recorded it, besides the Crickets, Sam Neely, Hank Williams Jr., Johnny Rodriguez, Kris Kristofferson and Rita Coolidge, The Clash, and Lou Reed.
Roy Orbison.
Add a few more if you'd like.
Brian Adams did this song. I can't remember anybody right off the top of my head.
The one that I intentionally left out is the one I am going to play. It's an artist by the name of Bobby Fuller, and his band was called the Bobby Fuller Four, and the year was 1966 that this song really saw the light of day, and this became a top 10 record on the Mustang label, and we're going to listen to it right now, the Bobby Fuller Four. And the song written by Sonny Curtis called I Fought the Law. Well, that's the way it normally happens. If you fight the law normally wins. Is that true, Sonny?
Well, that is true. There was one group I didn't think to mention, the Dead Kennedys, which is a punk rock group.
Yeah.
When they recorded, they said, I fought the law and I won.
Oh, okay. They changed it around. I think that the biggest compliment is when many people record the song.
Yeah, that's very nice.
I mean, you probably have had some songs that only one person ever recorded.
Oh, yes, and I have some songs that no person ever recorded.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You wrote the songs for yourself anyway.
Yeah.
So what do you care? You could have recorded them.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, that was I Fought the Law. There's a tragic aspect of the story of I Fought the Law because Bobby Fuller, while that record was on the chart, died under circumstances that are still a mystery, I believe. We don't really know whether he took his own life or what the circumstances were, but he had a lot of potential, and he had just released another single called Love's Made a Fool of You.
Yes.
Which is another one associated with Buddy.
Yeah, but what's kind of mysterious about that, you know, is they say he ingested gasoline to take his life. But most of the time, if you're going to drink gasoline to take your life, but most of the time, if you do that, you don't break your arm first.
It's kind of weird.
So that's one reason it's kind of mysterious.
Here's one that became a number one country hit. In this particular case, there's kind of a similarity to what we just mentioned about the Bobby Fuller Four, because Keith Whitley, his star was about as bright as it could possibly be, and he had a recording of a song called I'm No Stranger to the Rain. This one was co-written, you and a gentleman named Ron Heller.
That's right, Ron Heller, a good friend of mine and a terrific songwriter. Yes, I was very pleased to co-write that song with him.
Did you write this for Keith Whitley?
Well, no, I didn't. We were trying to write a good song.
Now, okay.
Ron and I were writing a lot together. I had a little studio in Nashville, and we met about 10 o'clock one morning. We went to lunch, and on the way back to the studio, Ron Heller was just coming out with one line after another. He's very prolific, and he just coming out with lines and ideas that we could kind of write about. How about I'm No Stranger to the Rain? And then he said, how about something else? And I said, wait just a minute. Let's go back to that I'm No Stranger to the Rain. Anyway, when we got back to my studio, we started up, and we wrote the song in, a couple of hours. Once the song really gets started, a lot of times they just sort of write themselves, you know. I mean, this really came naturally, seems like.
How did the song get to Keith Whitley?
I was writing for Tree, which is now Sony Tree, a publishing company, as was Ron. And one of the song pluggers down there took it to Keith Whitley.
Keith was only 33 years old when he died in 1989 of alcohol abuse.
Poor old Keith was a great guy. He drank himself to death, and that's just really sad because he was a terrific person, great talent.
He was married to another country singer, Lori Morgan.
That's correct, yes.
This was number one on the country chart when, tragically, Keith Whitley passed away. And let's listen to that song right now, I'm No Stranger to the Rain.
Stranger to the rain, I'm a friend of thunder. Friend, is it any wonder lightning strikes me? I fought with the devil, got down on his level, but I never gave in, so he gave up on me. I'm no stranger to the rain. Spot bad weather, and I'm good at finding shelter in a downpour. I've been sacrificed by brothers, crucified by lovers, but through it all, I've been stirring the pain. I'm no stranger to the rain, but when I get that foggy feeling, what I'm feeling now, if I don't keep my head, I may drown. But it's hard to keep believing I'll even come out even while the rain beats a hole in the ground. And tonight it's really coming down. I'm no stranger to the rain. There'll always be tomorrow, and I'll beg, steal, or borrow a little sunshine. And I'll put this cloud behind me. That's how the man designed me. Ride the wind and dance the rain. I'm no stranger to rain. Oh,
that was Keith Whitley, I'm No Stranger to the Rain. We're going to move right along to a song that you wrote called Gypsy Man, and it's for one of my favorite artists. Well, of course, you didn't write it for him. I know that. I know who you wrote it for. But let's talk about Buddy Knox. How much did you work with Buddy?
I worked with Buddy quite a lot.
And this
I've
Buddy.
Known him forever, too. As a matter of fact, I played on one of his early records. I played lead guitar on a song called I Think I'm Gonna Kill Myself.
Oh, well, depressing title, but it was actually an up-tempo song.
Yeah, it was a real good song. Buddy was a prince of a person. I just thought the world of him. He did, I think, three of my songs. He was a good guy and a good singer and a great artist.
This is Buddy Knox and a song written by Sonny Curtis, Gypsy Man.
I'm a gypsy man on a one-night stand, not fit to be loved by you. I'm with a gypsy band, just a traveling the land. They'll be leaving in the morning, I'll be leaving too. Things like love don't tie me down, I just spread my love around. Like small change among girls that I don't know. I'm a gypsy man on a one-night stand. Gonna have a little fun before I have to go. Don't you cry, don't you weep. Close your eyes and go to sleep. I'll hold you in my arms till dawn. What fortunes do you bring? Ah, golden earrings. When you wake up in the morning, I'll be gone. Things like love don't tie me down, I just spread my love around. Like small change among girls that I don't know. I'm a gypsy man on a one-night stand. Gonna have a little fun before I have to go. Things like love don't tie me down, I just spread my love around. Like small change among girls that I don't know. I'm a gypsy man on a one-night stand. Gonna have a little fun before I have to go.
We should acknowledge when we talk about Buddy Knox that he had so many great hits on the pop chart, including Party Doll, which was a number one hit, also Rock Your Little Baby to Sleep, and Hula Love, and the one you mentioned that you were on, I Think I'm Gonna Kill Myself.
Yeah.
We're gonna get to a song called The Straight Life by Bobby Goldsboro. I know who you really wrote it for.
Well, it's funny you say you know who I wrote it for. I did write it for myself, and I recorded it on Viva Records.
Yes.
Snuff Garrett's
This is our running joke today, though, of course. You know, I'm going to say, you know, I know who you wrote all these songs for, because you said that.
But my producer, Snuff Garrett, who was also my publisher at that time, sent it down to Bob Montgomery. Remember Buddy Holly and Bob Montgomery? He was producing Bobby Goldsboro. And Bob played that to Bobby, and he said, man, I think I'll record that. So that's how we got it to Bobby Goldsboro.
1968. For The Straight Life.
Yes.
Bobby Goldsboro singing that song written by Sonny Curtis. This is called The Straight Life.
Sometimes I imagine myself as a drifter, seeker of fortune, connoisseur of great wine, dashing through meadows of yellow and green, trying to catch the impossible dream. Leaving the straight life behind. Sometimes my thoughts may find me in Mexico, drinking tequila, going out of my mind, having a ball on a couple of bars, treating the ladies to corn on the cob. Leaving the straight life behind. Suddenly all my silly thoughts disappear. She comes to me softly with crackers and beer. winking and blinking and blowing my ear, running away with my mind. It's great to be in love, I'm not really thinking of leaving the straight life behind. I'm just playing a game in my mind. Do 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 do. Once in a while in my mind I go bumming, going to nowhere with no worry of time. Running along, chasing after a train, humming a song in the sun and the rain, leaving the straight life behind. I can just see me on a tropical island, riding the surf and drinking coconut wine, having me fun with golden girls in the sand, chasing the sun through an innocent land, leaving the straight life behind. Suddenly all my silly thoughts disappear. She comes to me softly with crackers and beer, winking and blinking and blowing my ear, running away with my mind. It's great to be in love, I'm not really thinking of leaving the straight life behind. I'm just playing a game in my mind. Do 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 do.
The Straight Life by Bobby Goldsboro, song written by Sonny Curtis, who is on the phone with me. I am Ronnie Allen, and we are walking down memory lane. I want to know exactly what the time frame is when you were with the Crickets. You were not on their hit records with Buddy Holly. I mean, the hit records like That'll Be the Day. And
no, we recorded That'll Be the Day on Decca down here in Nashville, but that was in the summer of 56. I left the group in probably August of 56, and I went on the road with Slim Whitman. That job didn't last very long, but anyway, after I left the group, Buddy formed the Crickets with Jerry Allison and Joe B. Malden. I was not in the group at that time.
Okay, but actually the very first recording of That'll Be the Day was on Decca Records.
That's right.
With Buddy.
It wasn't as good as the one that came out finally.
That was the first one. You saw the motion picture, The Buddy Holly Story. It certainly made Buddy Holly known to people who had never heard of Buddy Holly even. But on the other hand, you had some reservations about the motion picture.
It was probably a pretty good Hollywood rock and roll movie, but...
Buddy Hollywood.
Yeah, really.
Version of the story.
Well, they took a lot of license, you know. They just didn't have a lot to do with what really happened. We saw the movie down in Dallas. I say we, the Crickets. They flew us down there for that thing, and I left the movie theater and went back to my hotel room, and I started the song, and I wrote it over the next couple of days, you know, just sort of my version of what happened.
Well, should we just play the record, and does it pretty much explain what we need to...
I think, yeah, it kind of does, yeah.
This is Sonny Curtis and the real Buddy Holly Story.
Just came down to see the Buddy Holly story. I guess it don't matter none, but they told it wrong. So I'm gonna try to tell you what really happened. But it's gonna be tough to tell a story that long and song. So I'll just try to relate a few of the high spots. There's so many low spots, I know you don't have the time. Remember they had a whole movie to tell their story, but all I got is a song and my story's got to rhyme. So here we go. We had a good country band and I played the fiddle, and Buddy played the guitar and he used to play the banjo song. We harmonized like Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys. Bob wore my hat and played the flat top with his son. We played them joints and had a lot of fun with the women. We swigged on bootleg beer and played Dixon the Sun. We got our picture in the paper
We were crazy back then, but we sure had lots of fun. Then Elvis came along and no but just love. But I couldn't tell where rock and roll was coming from. But I looked around, cause someone had to play like Scotty. Turn, I wound up on the road, and them good old boys began to make some noise around Texas, and they got hot as a pistol, picking at rock and roll. But that'll be the day, came much too soon for Buddy. He was a good old boy, and he had a good Christian soul. He never knocked nobody life. He loved us all and he treated us right. And you know the levee ain't dry and the music didn't die. Cause Buddy Holly lives every time we play rock and roll.
That was the real Buddy Holly story by Sonny Curtis, who is right here on the phone with me. One more song to discuss, and then we will have the other song. You co-wrote a song with Jerry Allison called More Than I Can Say. Was this recorded by the Crickets at all?
It was. We recorded it in February of 1959 at Bell Sound Studios in New York City.
Okay.
That was the first record.
Bobby V had a recording of it, and in fact, I just did a Bobby V special, and I closed the show with it. The biggest version of the song, however, got to number 2 on the United States record charts. It was by Leo Sayer. What record kept this out of the number 1 spot? Do you remember?
It was sort of positioned to go to number 1. I think Kenny Rogers was number 1. I think the song was Lady.
Yes.
But sadly, John Lennon got killed that week, and he was, I think, sitting at number 8 or something like that, and his song went straight to number 1.
Straight to number 1. And
which is not the worst thing that happened about that sad day. Lost John Lennon.
The song's close to 50 years old now.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Wrote it in 59, yeah.
59, so it's 48 years old. This is Leo Sayer's version of Sonny Curtis and Jerry Allison's song, More Than I Can Say.
I love you.
Well, Sonny, it is that time that we come to the portion of the show that I've been really looking forward to, and that is the discussion of the song that opened up the show in abbreviated form. And with all the songs you have written, in many respects, I guess a lot of people know you primarily because the Mary Tyler Moore Show was so popular, and everybody heard that theme at the very beginning of the show, and it became ingrained in people's minds, and they couldn't get it out of their minds. How did you get it?
Well, that song, that whole piece of business, if you want to put it that way, happened in one day. A friend of mine named Doug Gilmore, who worked for the Williams and Price agency that managed Mary Tyler Moore, called me one morning at about 11 o'clock and asked if I'd be interested in writing a song for a new sitcom with Mary Tyler Moore, and I said, sure. He came to my house during his lunch break and gave me like a four-page format, like a little story of like what the show was going to be about. Right. It was about a girl who lived in the Midwest and she had been jilted by her lover or would-be husband or what you want to call it. And she moved to the big city of Minneapolis and got a job in a newsroom and got an apartment she could barely afford. And that's about all the information I had. So I wrote the song in about 2 hours and called Doug to say, hey, who do I sing this to? And he sent me over to CBS Studios to see a producer, James L. Brooks, who was the executive producer of the show.
Right.
And I sang it to him, and that's kind of how it happened.
Now, how did the song evolve when you wrote it? Did you start with the title, Love Is All Around?
Actually, I can't really remember. I think I probably started with a lick, you know. When I write by myself, I just sort of start in the middle or wherever I get a germ of an idea. And I think I probably started with that lick, you know, that one. And I wrote the song about, it was How Will You Make It On Your Own, was the very first year, because she was, had moved into an apartment she could barely afford, and just, you know, she just moved to the big city, and she was on her own and all that, and so I sort of wrote it that way. I think the very first year it said, you might just make it after all.
Happen to have a copy of it, and going to play it right now. This is the original Mary Tyler Moore theme, first season only.
How will you make it on your own? This world is awfully big, girl, this time you're all alone, but it's time you started living. It's time you let someone else do some giving.
That's the way it started. In other words, initially she was not turning the world on with a smile.
No.
That didn't come until the second time.
That was the second year. Alan Burns and James L. Brooks, the producers, called me. They said, she's obviously made it change the lyrics to a more positive lyric, you know.
As much as the title, Love Is All Around, people remember Who Can Turn the World On.
Yeah.
Do you remember yourself writing that particular line?
I do. Bob Montgomery, the record producer who produced Bobby Goldsboro, had come to L.A., and he and I and our wives went deep sea fishing. And we left at 11 o'clock at night, and we had a bunk, and we woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was so seasick I couldn't see. I spent the whole day lying in my bunk while the rest of the troop went fishing. And while I was lying there deathly ill from seasickness, I wrote, Who Can Turn the World On With Her Smile?
When you were sick as a dog?
I was sick as
a dog.
But I wrote that verse.
When you got the chance to write the song, did they say you're also going to sing the song?
No, I made that deal myself. They didn't really want me to sing the song. And I said, well, if you don't have me sing it, then you don't get the song.
That is a great story.
So they said, okay, you can sing it.
You played hardball.
Yep.
Hope Chris Matthews is listening.
Well, You know, I was pretty dumb. I mean, I should have said, well, yeah, man, you want this song. I didn't realize kind of what I was saying, I think. But they said, look, we want somebody like Andy Williams to sing it. Andy, at that particular time, was just hot as he could be. He was hotter than soap or bread, you know. He's just on fire. And I said, if you can get Andy Williams to sing it, you got a deal. But if you're just going to get some ne'er-do-well to sing it, then it's me. They finally said, okay.
What I'm going to play right now is a version of the song, which is actually the version that was on the TV show starting with the second season, right? The Love Is All Around. You did this about a year ago.
Yeah.
You re-recorded it. But you re-recorded it very close to what it was on the TV. So it's
close as we could get.
As close as you could get. And this is really the entire song now. We heard it briefly at the beginning of the show. This is the second season on. The song is called Love Is All Around, the legendary Mary Tyler Moore show theme, written and sung by Sonny Curtis.
Who can turn the world on with her smile? Who can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile? Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show it, love is all around, no need to waste it. You can knock it down, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all. You are most likely to succeed. You have the looks and charms, and girl, you know that's all you need. All the men around adore you. That sexy look will do wonders for you. Love is all around, no need to waste it. You can have it down, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all. Love is all around, why don't you take it all?
How do you feel about being the anonymous person behind the song? Because even though you sang, a lot of people didn't know.
Well,
maybe they read the credits. I'm sure that your name was in the credits, but I mean,
My name was really down at the bottom. I mean, you couldn't tell it's Sonny Curtis or No Smoking. But anyway, I'm not hung up about that. I've had a wonderful career, and you know, I'm happy to hear my songs sung by other artists. And I also, we're still performing the Crickets. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, we played up in Lancaster just about a couple of months ago in Pennsylvania. And we're going to North Dakota on the 8th of December. And we sort of reached the stage in life that we like to go out and play one show and then come back home and rest. We like to play, but we don't like to work.
Okay. It's a combination. Well, Sonny, believe it or not, our time is just about up. And I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to, as I say, walk down memory lane and share the stories behind all of these wonderful songs that you've written.
Well, it's really been a pleasure. I've enjoyed going back and talking about those days.
And Sonny, I want to wish you continued success. As soon as you get off the phone, do me a favor, write another hit song.
I'm not writing so much these days. I'm resting.
Okay. If you need a co-writer, you know my phone number.
Okay. I might make a deal.
Maybe. I'm still working on my first hit. We are going to close the show right now with a rather unusual version of the Mary Tyler Moore theme. How did Joan Jett get to record this?
This is a part of the story that I don't know. I can't imagine how she picked this up, but she did a wonderful job. I mean, like, when I first heard it, I thought, wow, how in the world did she think to arrange it like that? But, yeah, she's a terrific artist.
Well, I think what you should do is go into the studio and record I Love Rock and Roll.
I wish I could, but I'd never come close to her record of it.
Here is Joan Jett. Good night, everybody.
Who can turn the world on with a smile? Who can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile? What is your girl and you should know it? Speak words in every little movement you show it. Drop it all around.
Well, that's the show. And now a couple of bonus tracks by Sonny. Here's a song he wrote called Do You Remember Roll Over Beethoven?
Do you remember roll over Beethoven? Seduce your soul. Then along came Elvis, I sang an explosion, and they called him King of Rock and Roll. And so I wrapped up my youth in lots of pink and black clothing and shrunk inside my radio. And I was somebody, not just a nobody, listening to a rock and roll. Go Cat Go and a rock and roll show, that's all I ever talked about. Blue suede shoes and clear silk blues and wishing my sideburns out. The mods and the rockers and McCartney and Lennon slowly brought us back to rock and roll. And so we had good vibrations from my generation, but war began to take its toll. So we marched on the nation and gave our frustrations to the Beatles and roll. Lights grow, let's get on with the show. Light up and pass the good times out. Levi's and tweeds and making super hip beats and letting my hair grow out. Now that I'm older, young seems so much younger, and older doesn't seem so old. Cause I still get flipped out on a good Rolling Stone song, still crazy about rock and roll. Let's go, let's go to a rock and roll show. I've bridged it. Sitting round laid back, just digging my 8-track and watching my hair fall out.
And finally, here's Sonny's biggest record as a country singer. This is called Good Old Girls.
Saturday night, smoke-filled bar, Whalen and Long Neck Beer. The place is a-jumping with good old boys. Guess what brought them in here? They all love Whalen, they all love beer. They love to give the dance floor a whirl. But you wouldn't see one single good old boy if it wasn't for the good old girls. Good old girls by the dozen. Good old girls, God love 'em. You wouldn't see one single good old boy if it wasn't for the good old girls. You can bet them boys ain't sitting there drinking just to pass away the time. And the pinball players and the eight-ball shooters got another game on their mind. It's a simple thing, just take a look. It's the same all over the world. There wouldn't be one single good old boy if it wasn't for the good old girls. Good old girls by the dozen. Good old girls, God love them. There wouldn't be one single good old boy if it wasn't for the good old girls. You can look into their faces and just about read their minds. Good old boys hate being alone when it comes to closing time. They live for the nightlife, cold beer, and the good old country song. But there's just one thing that keeps them out running instead of staying at home. And that's good old girls by the dozen. Good old girls, God love them. You wouldn't see one single good old boy if it wasn't for the good old girls. I said good old girls by the dozen. Good old girls, we just love them. If it wasn't for the good old girls, oh, there wouldn't be one single good old boy if it wasn't for the good old girls.